I mean, how could you not love them instantly? And they didn't even have probably their best, not probably their best offensive kid.
I was like, in the alternate universe, I said, Caleb Shaw is watching this. Guys,
they've done this before. They did this. I mean, they've done it to great teams before. So it's just like, I don't even know if that's really a big win for him.
He is a leader on defense. I mean, this kid has a motor, man. I mean, you can just tell he gets into the game and he starts to defend and everybody just kind of rallies behind him. He's their leader. Like, he's everything for them.
He's him.
If you don't love that win, you don't love Arizona small ball. I mean, I don't care what level you're on. That performance is one that's going to go in the record books. What is up, Arizona high school basketball fanatics? Welcome back to the Arizona Small Ball Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff. Your other host, Reyes, is not here with me today. We are recording separate right now this week because this is just a bananas week with the playoffs going on and everything happening. You know, we've been saying this to our team, and, you know, as many of you guys have been saying to your teams, there's two types of teams that make the playoffs. Teams that are excited to be in the playoffs and teams that are trying to win in the playoffs. And let me tell you, there is chaos in the 3A after the first round. You have numbers 20 through 24 that were not just excited to be in the playoffs. They're trying to win, man, and they did. Some massive upsets in the 3A, and I'm here to kind of break it down for you. Full disclosure, I am here recording. We just got back from our game against Winslow, and I am in the studio recording with you guys. I want to apologize in advance for my voice because I screamed so much tonight yelling and cheering on our boys. And so if my voice sounds a little bit raspy, that's why. But I had to hop on and just talk about, I didn't get to watch all of these games, but on the bus ride back, and I've gotten some info from some other coaches, I've gotten some info on some of these games, so I want to talk about them. And also I want to give a prediction as to which of these teams that pulled off an upset between 20 through 24 has a really good shot to actually continue on. And maybe we're looking at a potential Cinderella team in the making here. Before we get into this, I want to give a huge shout out to our sponsors over at Cloud9 Sports. They're a sports apparel company that we use for all of our events, and they are run by small ball coaches, and they care about the small schools just as much as we do. If you are looking to get, like, playoff shirts or anything special for your team, just go out to them. I promise you they're going to take great care of you. Go on over to cloud9sports.com, use the promo code all caps smallballarmy, or just email our guy directly, cloud9roger@hotmail.com. I promise you they'll take really good care of you if you tell them that the podcast sent you. So let's talk about these. Number 20 through 24 end up pulling massive upsets, and each of these places were very difficult places to play in. Let's start with Sabino getting the massive win. Number 24, Sabino, getting the massive win over number 9, Coolidge, in the Bears' den. They win 67-57, and they quiet a lot of haters. There have been a lot of haters about Sabino saying that they're overrated, that the South is overrated, that they don't really have good players, and they're beating each other up because they're not very good. You know, Sabino doesn't belong in the playoffs. It's so stupid that we have the top two teams go from a region. They're ranked number whatever. They don't belong with it. It's got to stop, y'all. Sabino is a legitimate contender, and I think, in my mind, they are the best chance for a Cinderella story here as Sabino wins against Coolidge. I mean, this game was back and forth. I was watching it on YouTube. Coolidge honestly didn't play a bad game against Sabino. They were both neck and neck. The game is tied with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and this is kind of how it was throughout the majority of the game. And Coolidge ended up just having some big turnovers there at the end. Sabino is able to capitalize, and they pull away, hitting free throws, hitting shots. Sabino, and kind of the story with a lot of these teams that ended up pulling off the upset here, because we'll talk about all of them, but they were able to do all those little things consistently right opposed to Coolidge, and they end up getting a big win over Coolidge, advancing on to go over to Chinle. I'm going to tell you this right now. I know that the Wildcats' den is a hard place to play at, but Sabino don't care about that, man. Sabino's freaking tough, dude. You watch these kids play. They play with a different vibe. I'm going to go back to our quote from Coach Milliard, but you have to fight and claw just to make it in the South sometimes. So these kids are used to being in tough, difficult situations. They're going to go to Chinle. They're going to be ready to go. I would favor Sabino in this matchup against Chinle, which will be on Saturday. And I don't know. I favor them, and I put Chinle on upset alert. If I was to give a percentage right now, I would say Chinle's percentage chance to lose would probably be somewhere in the realm of 60 to 65% because of how well Sabino is clicking right now, how well they're playing. And Chinle has been playing well. I mean, they played the best out of the 3A North, obviously, in that tournament. But I just think Sabino, they might have a little something here. So Sabino gets the massive win over Coolidge. Huge shout-outs to those kids who were able to transcend and get that massive win. Let's move on to number 21, Scottsdale Christian gets the big win over Fountain Hills, the upset win. 21, Scottsdale Christian gets the win over number 12, Fountain Hills, 56-44. And, y'all, we got to talk about Coach Anderson, man. He's got his kids playing at such a high level right now. Jake Harrison is really, really coming into his own. I mean, let's talk about this for a second, right? This is playoff debut as a freshman. And this kid leads all scorers with, I think it was 26 points. I mean, Jake Harrison is playing out of his mind. And, you know, something I will say about Coach Anderson that I think is true, that I've observed about him as a coach, is he is very gifted at giving kids confidence. I saw it with Garrison Sherman. I saw it with Jacob Weber. I see it with Jake Harrison. I see it with Hunter Wales. I saw it with Elijah Williams. I saw it with every kid that he's had, that they just develop and they are just more confident when he is the coach. So this is huge, right? Scottsdale Christian beats Fountain Hills two times in order to end this season, and Scottsdale Christian is just on a winning streak right now. If you look, I guess they lost to Rancho, but they've kind of gone every other. They win at Pima. They lose Northwest Christian. They win against Fountain Hills. That one was 63-50 at home. Now they go on the road and they beat Fountain Hills in the Falcons' nest. Yeah, in the Falcons' nest. This is a huge, huge win. All right, we all know about Coach Bonner. You know, I'm eating my words here, which is fine. But we talked about a Coach Bonner-led team in the playoffs is so difficult to win. I mean, this is one of the best wins, I think, in Coach Anderson's resume so far since he's been coaching. And I get it, like, there's been big wins that he's had before, but against a Coach Bonner-led team in the playoffs, on the road, at their place, that's just difficult to do, man. So huge shout-out to them. They now go on and face a very familiar opponent. They play at ALA Ironwood on Saturday. And, I mean, the last time that they played them, it was the first game of the season. That was a 9-point game. Scottsdale Christian, I'm going to put there in the grouping, has another chance to pull an upset here. We could see a potential 21 advancing along with a 24 advancing, right? Now, ALA Ironwood's listening to that. They would have something to say about that, and that's totally fair. I'm just looking at the bracket and looking at the data of what's in front of me. What do I know? Right? Has Scottsdale gotten way better from that first game? Heck yeah. Has ALA Ironwood? Heck yeah, they have, right? So it's just going to be a fun, fun atmosphere for them. So Scottsdale Christian pulls off the upset against Fountain Hills. Let's move on to number 22, Camp Verde, upsetting 11 Winslow, 78-53. All right, guys, played tough tonight, man. They did a really, really great job and, you know, just went in and handled business against a very well-coached and a Winslow team that has so many talented players. I mean, just nothing but respect and love for Winslow. They're aggressive. They can get up in your grill. They do a lot of things really well. I mean, Isaac Davis coming back, he could be the best big man in the East next year. And I know that's a stretch maybe going forward, but Sholo's losing some kids, and Isaac David's only going to get better and better. Really love to see how he competes. They also got a lot of young guards. Winslow, if you ever played against them in the summertime, they got a great program that's coming up. So there's going to be a lot of young kids that are coming up for Winslow. They're going to be around for a long time, right? But But number 22, Cam Verde, gets the upset win over Winslow, a hostile environment. And, I mean, again, this is very similar as all the other teams. Camp Verde will go on and face a very familiar opponent in Northwest Christian. Now, Northwest Christian, last game that they met against Camp Verde, 51 plus 10 is 61. That was a 12-point spread, okay? A 12-point spread. But this is a familiar opponent. This will be the third time that Northwest and us meet together in the playoffs. And I have nothing but respect and love for Coach Cook and how he does things over there. I mean, they're just such a tough, physical, hard-nosed team. You just got to love the way that they play. But that's a huge upset win here for the number 22 over the number 11. Let's move on to the number 23, Monument Valley Mustangs, the magical Mustangs, right? They end up upsetting Page at number 10. Now, this is not one that is as surprising to me. Now, they went 61-58 at Page. But, and I just got to say this, dude, like all of these lower seeds that upset these places, they're all difficult places to play at, right? Page is super difficult to play at in the playoffs. Winslow is super difficult to play at. Fountain Hills is difficult to play at. Coolidge is difficult. Like all of those are really, really hard, but they're able to get the win, right? Monument Valley wins over Page. They win 61-58, and this will be the fourth time that they meet against each other. Monument Valley has bested Page the last two times, and Monument Valley advances and has their hands full with a really tough and talented Snowflake team. Now, I for sure would favor Snowflake in this matchup. Snowflake and Monument Valley, they have not met up to this point. You can compare common opponents, right? But that's not foolproof. I would definitely favor Snowflake in this matchup against Monument Valley. But I think that Monument Valley has done some awesome things here towards the end of their season. You know, they make it to the 3A North Championship to make it into the playoffs. They're not satisfied just with that. They get the win over Page, and now they're on the road at Snowflake. So Monument Valley's listening to this. I mean, you guys are like, dude, you counted us out last year, and look what we did, so just watch what we do on Saturday night. That's fair, and that's fine, but that's going to be a great matchup here. I think that I would favor Snowflake in that matchup, but it is what it is, right? And then the last big one that I want to talk about upset-wise is number 20, Thatcher, upsets number 13, Push Ridge, 51-45. Coach Hull, I don't know what you've been doing over there, but whatever you've been doing to those kids, man, they are playing their freaking, you know, I'm going to say what our head coach says because I always feel like he's about to cuss and then he doesn't. They're playing their absolute tails off, okay? And this is the hottest team coming into the tournament, and they proved me right. Right, they get the huge win over Push on the road, and they just beaten Push Ridge. That was their final game of the regular season, if I remember correctly. I'm pretty sure that that is correct. Let me just triple check just to make sure. But Thatcher's final game of the season was against Push Ridge. 57-55 they won. Now they win 51-45 here at the exact same place. So it's a very difficult thing. You know, I got some flack for not giving Push Ridge enough love. And it wasn't because I didn't think Push Ridge was good. I got nothing but love for all the small ball teams. I just saw a lot in Thatcher, and that's why I was highlighting Thatcher, and it shows through here as well. So Thatcher advances, and they face off against number 4, Holbrook. I mean, y'all, I just think these 20 through 24 seeds, I mean, what if all of these 20 through 24 seeds, and I know I'm kind of like, I'm circling around this because, you know, I coach at one of these schools. I'm just saying, like, as an Arizona small ball fan, I'm just saying, what if 20 through 24 were to advance to the Elite Eight? Like, that's crazy, man. They're all playing against common opponents for the most part that they've seen before. So, I mean, you have to believe that all of them are going to be able to game plan good for their games, game plan good for players and sets and defenses. I mean, we are poised for some awesome, awesome matchups here in the second round. A game that I did get to see was Florence getting the win, number 16. This was not an upset, but Florence holds on to win at home against Palo Verde Magnet, 55-48. Florence advances, And, you know, Palo Verde, I've been high on them all season long, and I'm still high on them, man. This is a great, great team. You know, they kind of – and honestly, I can't even just say this about Palo Verde. Both Palo Verde and Florence, they both kind of struggled to get into an offensive rhythm. Both went to zones for different times, and I felt like they both kind of struggled to play against the zone and to get into a good rhythm. But it was a super physical game. They both did well disrupting each other. It was 20-22 at halftime. I feel like Florence just did all the little things more consistently, like staying in your stance, being off on the help side, right? Being in passing lanes, having your hands up, just rebounding the ball consistently. I just felt like Florence did those little things a little bit better and more consistent than Palo did, and that's what allows them to get the win. Awesome for the Gophers. I love it. But they face, I mean, of all of these teams, they get the toughest matchup there in that second round. They go to Valley Christian. So, I mean, it's difficult for Coach Silvas, but you know Coach Silvas, man. He's tough. He's hard. No, he's not scared of nothing, bro. Let's look at these matchups that it was with Florence and with Valley Christian before. But you got to think that Coach Silvas is going to have a little something up his sleeve for these guys. They lose 51-93 the last game of the season. But, I mean, you got to believe that Coach Silva's got something cooking up. You know, I got a crock pot going, and he's had some recipes going, and he's waiting for the right time to serve this thing up, right? So that's going to be a tough matchup for them. Florence advances to face Valley Christian. Like we already said, number 24, Sabino, advances to face number 8, Chin Lee. I would favor Sabino in that one. Scottsdale Christian advances to face an ALA Ironwood, which they have already faced against number 21, Scottsdale Christian against number 5, ALA Ironwood. Number 20, Thatcher advances to face off against number 4, Holbrook. I just love seeing all these 20s. It's tough, man. You know, like you always say this about your team, right? And I already said this at the beginning, but there's two types of teams that make the playoffs. Teams that are excited to make the playoffs and teams that are trying to win games. 20 through 24 were not satisfied with just being in the playoffs. They wanted to win. They want to make some noise. Thatcher faces off against Holbrook, which is a very tough matchup. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm not even going to give a prediction yet on that one. But, I mean, Thatcher's playing tough right now. Holbrook is going to have their hands full. But also, I mean, who's going to stop Tapaha? I don't know who. But he's just a tough matchup for anybody. Number 14, Parker, holds strong against number 19, Safford, 64-56. So they advance, and they also face a very familiar region opponent. You got number 1 and number 2 in the region, man, like over in the West. You got Parker versus Yuma Catholic. What I'm told is the only reason that Parker-Yuma Catholic was close the first time is because Yuma Catholic was missing Lucky Patain. I don't know. Right, but they got everybody now. So Parker, this is a familiar opponent. You got to think that they're going to be able to game plan. This would be interesting to see how this matchup goes. You got number 22 Camp Verde advancing to face off against number 6 Northwest Christian. Number 23 Monument Valley advancing to play number 7 Snowflake, and then number 15 Sholo advancing to play against number 2 Gilbert Christian. So there's chaos in the 3A right now. So a lot of great performances going on. And, you know, there's going to be a lot more to come. So I just wanted to hop on and highlight this. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Arizona Small Ball Podcast. And just be on the lookout, because as more of these games come on, there will be a lot more content that is coming your way. Catch you later.